Thank you, Pastor Dave. Good morning, everybody. Just like you may be seated, thank you for that beautiful introduction. Amen. It's just like home. Amen. And much appreciate your warmth and the love that we get, as Rebus was saying. And I think it's very important when someone that comes from outside and comes inside, you know, you could sense the Spirit of God. You know, one thing is the Spirit of God has never separates anybody. It makes everybody feel one. Amen. And even though we all born from the same seed, which is God, amen. And so we're one big happy family, praise the Lord. So I just want to thank God for I could be in this beautiful part of our Tasmania, praise the Lord. And it's cold too, because I'm right up on the border up there and up and just on the border of Queensland, Coolangatta, praise the Lord. We use all go for the holidays. And it's 33 degrees and humidity is high and it's hot, praise the Lord. So thank you, Pastor Dave, for having us this morning. And just wanted to say thanks, Paul, for bringing us down here this morning as well. We're up in the conference up in Launceston with Pastor Marilyn Billing. And for the whole 3 days, it's been absolutely transforming. We're actually establishing with the churches there to just raise up the bar, the awareness of our Indigenous people of Launceston and hopefully Hobart as well. And I got an indication for churches in Church of Christ wants to get on board. So we're pretty much... break barriers so we can, help each other. That's what we're here for, to bring a whole awareness so that we can look at each other and not through what our perceptions are in a negative way, but more or less how we can help each other to get to know Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's no barriers in the kingdom of God. And but... obvious, we live in a secular world and obvious they have a lot of perceptions about different cultures. And so through the power of Jesus Christ, we're able to walk together and really transform our nation. Amen. And if you've got a heart just like God has, you'll be a part of His what He's doing in this nation. So what you're doing here is not insignificant. It has a major... place in God's kingdom, what He's doing across the nation. And I get that privilege to travel across the nation and, large churches, small churches, even in the bush, amen, where there's dogs and all. And so dogs go to church out there in the bush. We had one last night come to church last night and just paddling around there in the front there. I thought he was going to get saved and fall over. Amen. I don't know if he was scratching with fleas, but anyway, praise the Lord. So we're very privileged to be in such a great movement, which is God's kingdom. And we're in a great movement, which is Australia Christian Church. We're not being biased, but it is a great movement. And we serve a great president, which is our Wayne Elkhorn and Pastor Wayne and obvious Pastor Dave is your state representative, and I think you should be proud of him, amen, and his wonderful wife, Alex, and serving such a great area of your community, praise the Lord. And I said to Tristan, he's from Arnhem Land, right up to the top of Darwin, right down east of Darwin, and so I said to him, I said, you're going to see some Tasmanian devils. And he said, what are they? And I said, well, they're like vampires. They go, yang, 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 like this, see? And he said, do they? I said, yeah, they'll grab your neck, brother. They'll give you a love bite as well. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So praise God. I better preach here anyway. Amen. So it is a privilege. And I'm married to one wife, praise the Lord for that. And I've been married for 37 years, amen, and nearly 40 years I've been transformed, and delivered. Amen to the men. And I have five girls and two boys. And so I'm very rich, and I have 12 grandchildren. And I have three sons here in the front here as well. I was told by Rebus, we're not fathers, sons in the faith, we're sons. So, you know, it's good to have spiritual sons and daughters, but we're no more called just, you know, sons of the faith, but we're called sons and daughters, amen. And we're part of one family. Can you say amen to that? And so we don't exclude anybody. We make everybody a part of the family. And I'm so blessed with Pastor Dave when he's telling me about his kids, and we also foster children as well. And I'm part of the North Coast of Indigenous children's foster care for the government, and I'm on the board. And so it's good to be a voice in those areas. Can you say amen? I was just saying to Pastor Dave, there's 40,000 children that are in care and foster care. And I think that's a lot of children. And I think if you want to get busy, I reckon you can be a part of this journey by taking some of these children in your home. And listen, if you don't do it, the other people going to, and so I think it's really important for us in Jesus' name, because that's our mission, get our young generation and bring him into the kingdom of God, and in your home, in your family, and amazing things can happen to children's life in the future. So, we're very privileged to be a part of that journey in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I have a video. Just want to show you. Is that okay? And so please, it's all about together. And this is something we're projecting in our movement, what we want to do, liaise with the churches in our nation. And hopefully that this will encourage you, give you a bit of awareness of what we want to achieve together in ACC, and what we want to do together to help each other. Because it's not about us. It's not about just me on my own. It's about us together. And as we can do this, the only way we can be effective is actually walk together. So here's a video for you. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And I want to welcome the Durham Valley and welcome this morning. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure you're going to be blessed this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's great to be this morning. So that's what we're trying to project is together. Amen. And turn to someone and say, you're the best looking person I've seen so far. Amen. And I want to speak about this morning, if I can, and in the few minutes I've got with you this morning, and what I feel in my heart this morning, and I know that you're on a journey with your pastor with some messages that he's speaking to you about, and I want to talk about five truths that will help us overcome obstacles in our life. Amen. Has anyone had any obstacles in their life? Give me a wave. Plenty of us, amen. Some of us had small ones and big ones, and it doesn't matter what the measure is, but the important thing is, how do we get through it? That's the important thing. And there are some keys, I believe, that God gives us in our seasons and our lives. When we go through some of these obstacles or these challenges, there's keys in the Word of God. There's things that God will help you. There's always, you know, Psalms 23 talks about the Lord is my shepherd, and he talks about that we go through some valleys, and those valleys are times and seasons at which every one of us feel the shadows of darkness trying to come over us. But you know, God's rod of his comfort is right there with us, and gives us that strength and gives us that stamina in the Holy Spirit. Because I like about the energy that is in this place, which is to do with the Holy Spirit that we engage with. And the Holy Spirit is our energy. Amen. It's not just the physical well-being and all your fitness or your whatever we rely on our physical strength, but it's the energy of the Holy Spirit, because those things can actually, you know, can fail on us in times. But one of the things is that can never fail on us is the energy of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you, that's what he's there for you, to give you that power, that energy, that strength in time when you need. And not just because you go for challenges and times and seasons, but also the Holy Spirit, he never locks himself in seasons like we go through. He's beyond seasons. Amen. And so, and this is the second day in summer. Amen. And so we're in that time of where there's harvest, and we enjoy the pleasure of getting out and having barbecues and, you know, going out in parks and doing some things together as families. And so it's really important for us to enjoy this time. But at the same time, we don't know when challenges or times can come in our lives, and we have to be ready. Can I hear an amen for that? Don't wait till it comes. You've got to be ready now. And so that we don't fall over those obstacles. Because, you know, God can give you the wisdom and the insight even before when things do come to your life. He can give you the wisdom to step over those obstacles. Amen. And sometimes we don't step over them, we fall over them. And so it's important for us to know how to overcome those obstacles and those challenges and those times and seasons in our life in Jesus' name. And God has a plan for us. And you know, because of the plan that God has for us and a future that he's got for us, obvious those obstacles will come into our life to try and cause us to delay in the journey, in the process that what God has for our lives. And so I got saved in Redfern. Anyone know Redfern in Sydney? Beautiful place to get saved. Amen. You know, years ago on the media, it was the most hottest place in Australia, the most rebels and the most destructive area where there would be challenges with the police and Indigenous people in that area. Well, guess what? Can any good come out of Redfern? Me, praise the Lord. Just like they said, can any good come out of Nazareth? Jesus did. Amen. Can any good come out of where you came from? Yes, you. Amen. You know, God saved you for a reason. And for a reason, he has a plan and he has a destiny in your life. So here I am in Redfern, young boy roaming around the street, giving heaps to the police. I hope you're not a police today anyway, but praise the Lord. And so the thing is about it, that God gives us, you know, he saves us where you live and where you're situated. And guess what? He can take you out of that environment, just like when Moses was taken out of Egypt and he had to take him out into the wilderness and tip him upside down, inside out, and revolutionize his life, because his life was so dependent on the wisdom and the counsel of Egypt. And so God had to take him out in the wilderness to actually sort him out. Do you like being sorted out? Well, Moses got sought out, and he thought, well, being in a palace before and now in the desert where there's nothing, where there's barrenness, where there's no fruit, nothing, no Thai food or nothing, no McDonald's, nothing like that. But guess what? He had to rely and trust in God. Had to rely and trust in God. That's an amazing thing to say as a statement in your life, that if you want to trust God, guess what? There's some challenges that will come in your life. Does anyone want to trust God? Out of the back there needs converted. Amen. But guess what? When you trust God, there's some challenges coming for you. Amen. You can't avoid those things. Sorry to say. Amen. But part of this whole process, God says, I'm with you. And I want to just bring some little points to us this morning to help us together, because this has been a journey. You know, it's nearly 40 years I've served the Lord. Amen. And, you know, and one of the first transformation that happened in my life is when I've been delivered from sin and bondages and the strongholds of the environment of the world. The second transformation is when I got married. And the third transformation is when I had children. And the fourth transformation is when I put my hand up for the call of God in my life. Amen. The day I got saved, man, I started to preach the gospel. I didn't know the Bible, but I just knew Jesus. And for over 30 years, I've been preaching the gospel. Amen. Can something good come out of the place where you came out of? Yes. Why? It's because Holy Spirit brings revelation to your heart. You have an encounter, just like Saul became Paul, and he went to Straight Street because some of us got bent ways in our lives, so he had to be straightened out. And so he gets this revelation by Ananias, and he has a dream, and he goes to him to go a certain street to go and visit him, and then next minute he's blind for 3 days, and next minute his eyes are open, and he reveals the plan of God to his life. I love that. God never keeps secrets from us. He reveals the plan to you. He reveals everything that you need to know in every step. Amen. And so my first point for us, if we turn to our Bible in Hebrews, we need to turn to the Bible. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 12, if we can turn to that. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, and it's something very powerful and very significant about his word. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight. Do you realize that there are things that shouldn't be on your life, on your journey? Amen. There shouldn't be these things, because guess what? If you carry some stuff on your life, it will become an obstacle to your life. And so the Word of God tells us, gives us some guidance and gives us some keys, that whenever things become a weight to us, when anything becomes, you know, things that are in stress and all these sorts of things, the important thing is that he says, let us lay aside every weight. And so we need to do that and ask God, if there's anything in my life that's a, That's a stressful thing. That's a situation of what I'm carrying, burdens or things that, could be hurt or fear or any of those things what I face in life. Those things can become attached to you. And before you know it, if you leave those things in your life, guess what? It will become an obstacle to your life. Instead of us going forward into the destiny, the plan of God for our life, it can actually stifle you and it can hold you at a standstill and you feel that you're not achieving nothing. It's really important as families. Now, I've got seven of them, praise the Lord. I'm getting lost now. So when you get up here, you're in the spirit, amen. Yeah, look out. Praise the Lord. And then it says, let us lay aside every weight. And so with my children, I make sure as a parent to make sure that my children know how to deal with stuff in life, know how to deal with conflict. Because as a pastor, your PK, pastor's kids, they face situations in the church. Somehow people in the church think your kids have to be perfect. Amen. There's no perfect child on the planet. And the truth is this, that we all make mistakes. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Only six people. Thank you very much. We all make mistakes. Our kids are not perfect. Sometimes our kids will go, off the beaten track and so on. But because of we as, rely on ourselves all the time or in our sinful nature, we tend to judge people. And they have opinions about people. But the important thing is that he says that we are to what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Praise God. We've got to run the race. And to run this race is actually letting go some stuff from your life. Letting go some of the things that what you feel is heavy to your heart or things that are not helpful in your journey in Jesus' name. And so it's important. The second thing is for us to overcome our obstacles is trust in God for your strength and wisdom. Amen. To trust in God for strength and wisdom. And I believe, church, what's important to know this, because God is predestinated. He's a God that knows everything. He's a God that knows the future of your life. He knows the future of you young people. The important thing is that you've got to know in your heart that the person you're going to marry or engage with, you have to know that that's the right person for your life. Come on, amen. You don't want to marry some idiot. And as a parent, as a father, the important thing is that I've got to make sure that my kids are married to the right person in their life. So guess what? They go through a whole process. It's like this interview. Okay, let's know about your history, know this and this and that. The important thing is, because guess what? You don't want your children be bombarded with rubbish. Come on, who's with me? And even though we're not perfect at this, but if you can start it off on the right foot, I believe you can actually together enjoy life better. See, I got married when I was 20. Now, these days, people don't get married 20 now. All right? My wife was 18. So we've been married for 37 years. Praise the Lord. Thank God she put up with me. But the truth and the reality is, it was because of God. It's because of our trust in God. And even though young snappers that we were as young people, but we came out of a world, we came out of an environment where, it wasn't really secure or we didn't have the red carpet laid out for our lives. So what had happened is that when God came into our life, he began to show us how to trust him, how to rely on him, how to gain wisdom. And guess what? Where do you gain wisdom? You get beside people that's been on the journey for a long time in this earth. I love sitting down. Last week I was speaking to one of the older gentlemen in our church. He was 101 years old. I mean, young people, you think you got wisdom, you got nothing when it compares to someone that's 100 years old. Hello. And even all thou ones that are more mature, that are older in age, you know, they have so much wisdom to help you to not make mistakes what we made mistakes with. And you can do better. Can I hear an amen? You can do better. And so part of this whole journey and overcoming the obstacle is to trust God. And as you trust God, the wisdom of God through the Holy Spirit will come into your life in Jesus' name. And there's no limitation for you to know how much you should know. Amen. God wants you to know the fullness of everything that in a beautiful way, how he does that for your life, so that you and I don't make any major mistakes in Jesus' name. Amen. And so trusting God for your strength and wisdom, and how to overcome is to trust God, and he will give you strength. He will give you the wisdom. The Holy Spirit is right there. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. He said, surely God is my salvation. In other words, he is my security. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's everything for me in Jesus' name. Amen. And surely God is my salvation. He says, I will trust and not be afraid. Is there times when you feel afraid, when your bills are not going to be paid on time, or you're short of finances or anything like that? We know that bills never leave us nor forsake us. And we put bill on the fridge. We have a certain little spot where we put our bills. But you know what? Instead of being stressful and worrying, guess what? Wouldn't it be better for us to turn around and say, I prophesy, Bill, you will be saved. Bill, be saved. In other words, God is going to pay the bills for me in Jesus' name. Every time when my finances get a little bit limited, and I remember in the days, very rarely I'd get a $50 note or see a $100 bill. Has anyone got some of those in your pocket? No one's game enough to say yes. Okay, praise the Lord. And guess what? And so I start to prophesy over my pocket. I speak to Uncle Wally. And I say, Uncle Wally, I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus, be filled. And guess what? The back of the pocket goes, oh. And I speak to Auntie Percy. And Uncle Wally and Auntie Percy, be filled. And guess what? When you rely on God and trust in God, man, I want to tell you, God comes through for you in Jesus' name. He comes through every challenge, for every obstacle, for every situation, what you go for. Amen. You know, one thing is to, my son is 16 years old, and he's in the Sons Academy for AFL. And I'm saying to my son, you know, you could see some of the movements of, you know, where there's opportunities of going to the next level. And one of the things is to teach him to trust God and to pray and to do all the fundamental things. You know, I think it's important for our children to not only go into sports, into professional sports, but also be full on for Jesus. You know, and sometimes that career of life can lead you astray. But isn't it better to have both, have God and have that career in your life in Jesus' name? If you're meant to be a sports professional person, well, you know, amazing thing is you can have Jesus. And so we see in the Bible, it tells us, he says, the Lord, and he says, I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. God will defend you when you trust in him. God will defend you when you trust in him in the name of Jesus. Who believes that this morning? Thirdly, deal with the strongholds in our minds. Sometimes there are weapons in our minds. We have concepts in what we believe instead of the believing the Word of God in our minds. What do you believe more that's negative or positive when it comes to the Word of God? The Word of God is the thing that will give you the strength to overcome the whole dynamics when it comes to the mental and also what's in your mind. You know, sometimes I deal with people that have breakdowns. People go to hospitals. And when you're in this field, you get to see a lot of things. A lot of things that you don't want to see either. But somehow, God uses us as simple people. By the grace of God, He takes you into people's lives in the hospital situation. Sometimes people are mentally have breakdowns. People have so much stress and strain and they don't know how to think with their mind. And sometimes people have to take tablets. So many people have so many tablets, and if they spit it out, it'd be like a machine gun. And so the thing is that you've got to teach them how to have the Word of God in perspective in their life, because the Word is medicine to the soul. Can I hear an amen to that? Come on. There's medicine. Listen, the reason why that people don't read the Word is because the enemy has taken a stronghold over you. The Word of God must become a priority to your life if you're a Christian. Must. Not, it shouldn't be just now and then when I come to church and hearing your great pastor preaching. It should be a habit, a devotion in your life, a commitment. I'm praying every day for the Holy Spirit. Lord, just give me that hunger and desire to read the Word of God, to pray and to do everything that's necessary that's going to keep me healthy in my soul, in my heart. Because guess what? As soon as you withdraw yourself from the very fundamental things that is for your spirit, for your health, for your strength of your spiritual journey, if you stop reading this Word, guess what? The issues of life, the things that the enemy will use will cloud your mind and bombard you, and you'll actually have a spiritual breakdown. You shouldn't have a spiritual breakdown. Sometimes we do face those obstacles of those situations. But one of the things is that I'm teaching my young daughter, she's in high school, her first year, and teaching them about the mind area, because girls can become very clicky. I got five girls and I know what girls go on. They're very emotional. Boys are very straightforward. Come on, get over it. Girls, they manifest. And you know what? It's teaching our girls. And Joyce Meyer, where she has that book of the mind of the strongholds, you know, that book? I encourage you to get a hold of that book. Here's a promotion for her anyway. But you know what? It's the Word of God that would bring light to what is a stronghold in your mind. Come on, church. I can't go to the doctors and ask them, what's my stronghold today? What will be a stronghold is that you'll get spiritually sick in your head. And stress is not limited of what age you are. I see kids of 7, 8 years old are stressed out, man. Stressed. And they're not even 15 yet. My God. We're living in days that where this world is, it's not getting healthier, it's getting worse. There are more symptoms when it comes to stress that's getting more revealed by the medical profession. And each day there's a new symptom coming out of that's affecting humanity in our society. And I believe that what's going to sustain us, what's going to keep us above the water, what's going to keep us sailing when the Holy Spirit comes, you know. I don't want to be this person where I lose my whole energy and I'm worn out, man. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that we're going to be Superman or Wonder Woman, but I'll tell you what, keep the joy of the Lord in your heart. Can you say amen? The devil is out to steal the joy of your life, and he's very cunning in Jesus' name. And I better get moving because I've only got 4 minutes and we're going to be raptured. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 6. As you know, the word of God, and it says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments in every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, I take captive. Every time when someone speaks negative about my life, I teach my kids, when they hear a teacher or they hear someone that's speaking down on them, that's not lifting their self-worth up, I say to them, don't receive those things. Take it captive and begin to cast it off you in the name of Jesus. Because it's really important that you don't want your children or your grandchildren to be affected by the negatives of what people say against them. Can I hear an amen, parents? Hallelujah. The word of God lifts you up, keeps you above, keeps your mind in order, keeps you healthy in your soul, keeps you healthy how to speak to each other as a husband and wife. Amen. There's more stress coming on families. Amen. There's stress that's happening. And what's really going to secure us, what's going to keep us together is our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, our relationship in the Word of God, and talking to the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things that the church is so privileged and blessed with is the Holy Spirit engaging you. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. He is everything to us. He is the Father, Son that is manifesting in the presence of this 21st century in the Church of Jesus Christ that is keeping us above all those lies. There is lies that are paralyzing you, lies that are telling you not worth it or nothing's going to happen. This is not going to take place for your family. I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, don't believe those negative stuff. Begin to declare and prophesy the word of God over yourself. Begin to prophesy the word over your future, over your children, over your grandchildren, over your church, because God has got a great plan for your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on, give Jesus a clap offering. Amen. He's a wonderful God. He'll never fail you in any way in Jesus' name. You mark my word, when I sit with our elders have been in faith for 50, 60 years, and I tell them, how do you survive? How do you get through? They just said, keep going on. Just keep going forward. Just keep going forward. Trust the word. Trust everything you can. That's in God's kingdom for your life in Jesus' name. Fourth thing, know that nothing is too hard for God. Who believes that? Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing is too hard for my God. Come on, praise the Lord. Nothing's too hard. And the book of Jeremiah, it says in 32 verse 27, and it says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Nothing is hard for my God in the name of Jesus. When I go into a hard situation or complicated situation or in a community situation, there is nothing too hard for what God can undo and bring his glory in the situation. Can I hear an amen? There's only two conflicts that are happening in this world. It's not the prejudice in this nation and how we perceive different cultures in this nation. There's only two conflicts, darkness and light. And light always overcomes darkness. Amen? Darkness can never overcome light. We have a God in Jesus' name. And last of all, recognize that God uses obstacles for his purpose. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. So every obstacle, every challenge, every situation is not for your bad. It's actually for the good, to develop you, to help you trust God more, to realize that your own ego, pride, or your own self-reliance is not going to get you to where you should be unto God. What's going to get us to the place where God wants us to be is to trust him. And he says this, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Guess what? Your testimony is going to save many lives. Your testimony, your endurance, your stability, your sustaining self in God's word, how you live your life in this now, how you live your life before your peers, before those that you are around, your surrounding of life, is the record, is actually the testimony that people will say their God is definitely real. When you go through the valleys and go for hardships, and do you have the keyboard person to come, or how you do that? Thank you. Church family, I really believe God has this word for you today, for us. We're not going to actually, this nation will come into hardship. Whenever we live in this mortal body, we will face the physical challenges in life. But what helps overcome, we have the Spirit of God in us as we rely and depend on God in Jesus' name. So this morning, if you have any of those challenges or you have things that are facing your life right now in Jesus' name, I want to encourage you that God is here to give you power and strength, to give you the wisdom, to give you understanding and keys how to overcome. Just recently, I had to do 2 suicide funerals in 1 week, and it was such an effect on our community and our society. That, you know, it doesn't just affect one family, it affects the people that engages that particular one person. And, you know, it just affects you in every way. You know, we have the highest in capital in the world as an Indigenous people that is committing suicide in this nation. And I believe, church, we need to pray. We need to ask God to help how we can engage our community more than what we don't see. I mean, that's what God's all about, isn't that true? It's about people. It's not about colour. It's not about race. It's not about where you live, what job you have. It's about people. End of the day. That's what Jesus died for. So I want to pray for you. If you need prayer this morning, you need salvation today, I'm going to get Pastor Dave to come and help us this morning. I'm willing to pray with you and believe God for what he's going to do for our life in the name of Jesus. And so you looking through that beautiful other church, just reach out to the Lord this morning in Jesus' name.